What's up, little bro?
What's up?
What's up? Hey, everybody. We want to thank you for joining Monty's Gems podcast. I'm Chad.
I'm Jake.
And we wanted to walk you through what our goals of the podcast are, what we're looking forward to doing. And hopefully you'll sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Again, my name is Chad. I'm the eldest of six children, and this is my little brother, Jake. We have quite an age gap here between us, so we think it will be really cool to be able to talk about how we grew up, the different ways that we grew up, even though it was in the same family. I think both of us have different perspectives of maybe life.
Yeah,
definitely have some personality differences, which we'll go over in this podcast.
Yeah, just I think the 15 years of age gap is a lot. A lot changes from oldest to youngest, especially when there's such a big age gap. So, yeah, I think it's an interesting dynamic, to say the least.
I think it's more than 15. I mean, I'm 40.
I'm 24, going to be 25.
Oh, okay. So I guess, yeah. 16, yeah, 15 years. Yeah. Okay.
So I only remember that because I was 15 and then you were 30. So I was like, oh, he's just double my age. So that's the only way I remembered it.
Yeah. Thankfully, I'm not double your age anymore.
Yeah.
But again, so I'm 40, Jake is the youngest. We decided to call this podcast Monty's Gem because our father, who unfortunately passed away not this past April but the previous April, I believe really instilled a lot of his wisdom and his gems inside of each one of us and our whole family, as a matter of that. And something that always stuck with me was his desire to seek out the truth and to deal with justice. And
sometimes
he took that to a very big extreme.
Right.
Whether it was yelling at umpires during our baseball games or just anything. He was always responding to that. And that's something that actually I think has impacted both of our lives. I know my life greatly how I view the world and how I research and my moral compass, my moral values. It's just something I think has always stuck with me, and it's inside my head where I don't oftentimes realize that this isn't just something that a lot of people grew up with and a mindset that they have from a young age.
Yeah, I think one of the major things too is like the ability to sense sarcasm. It's like it's very easy for me to determine when somebody's being sarcastic, but if I'm ever being sarcastic and people like didn't grow up around that or anything, it's kind of hard for them to tell when I'm just making, like, when I'm just being sarcastic. They're like, wait, actually? And I'm like, no, dude, I'm being sarcastic. But it's just, we got so used to it because that's just how he was with everybody.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Our father was extremely sarcastic. And sometimes I think I have a hard time making friends because when I'm being sarcastic, a lot of people take offense to it as to, like, wow, that's just really, really hard.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes you go to the, what is it, passive-aggressive behavior, which I don't know, maybe sometimes he was actually being that, and it wasn't so much being sarcastic.
Yeah, but he just played it off as a joke, kind of.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it was a joke, and I was like, no, you are really being really truthful, and the way that you are truthful, and you show it in a maybe non-aggressive way, is that you do it through sarcasm and trying to play it off as a joke. So I think both the ways that we were raised, I'll go off based on me. I grew up in the 80s, 90s. My parents both worked for a printing company that was actually owned by my grandfather. My uncle worked there, and so it was essentially my grandpa's house, and they extended the garage out to a printing shop. So they had their printing presses, their laminator. And my uncle and my dad were always working side by side. My aunt worked there. My mom worked there. My grandma, my grandpa. And so, before and after school, I remember driving from home to go with dad. Grandpa would be there making breakfast for me. I'd sit there, watch some Looney Tunes, and then it would be 7:15, and dad's like, hey, time to go to school. So he would drive us up to school. After school, he would pick us up, and we would go right back out to grandpa's, the printing place, and get to be there. So I was able to be around entrepreneurship, business, but also be able to be close to my family you know, I've passed away a lot of years by just starting off at school. I mean, before that, it was, you know, each and every day just being able to stay out there. Grandpa was always playing around with us kids. We had basketball hoops, a great big field where you could, you know, hit baseballs or golf or mm-hmm. just do so many different things. And, you know, it was nice being in the printing business that Grandpa, my dad, and Uncle Ron, they were able to kind of walk away from that printing press because it was essentially running automatically, and then, you know, go and spend some time with me and actually get to play. So I think the biggest difference, though, is how I grew up is the health of my dad. So when I was about 13 years old, my dad started having issues in his wrist, is where he noticed it, actually, when I was playing baseball. And he ended up getting diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. And then, you know, as I aged and stuff, his health really deteriorated to a point where, oh, probably when I was 18 years old, he was almost, you know, wheelchair bound. He was walking with a cane, but really struggling. One thing I always remember about my dad is that he never missed a baseball game of mine, no matter how, you know, sick he was or how much he hurt. So that was always really, really special to me. And then one of the things, you know, with my dad being such a strong influence on my life, and obviously the difference between me and Jake being 15 years is, you know, I was out of high school and my mom and dad had Jake when I was a senior in high school. I wanted to be a positive impact for him and have, you know, some type of a father figure to him to be able to grow up around and be able to enjoy sports, and to have a father who was able to be active, because that was really special in my life. You know, Jake ended up playing baseball in high school, and then I moved down here to South Florida, is now where I reside. But that's a little bit of my story and kind of, you know, where I've came from.
Yeah. So, like, kind of the same with me. Like you said, like, not my earliest childhood memories, but ever since I can remember, ever since from kindergarten up to whatever grade it was, I remember going out to A&K after school, and it was always like you said, it was like never really kind of work. It was always, I go out there, grandpa had lunch or breakfast or whatever, and I'd watch some cartoons or something, and then I'd go out to dad at the press, and we'd play like cards or something, or I'd set up bowling pins, I remember. And if dad was busy, then I could go play basketball with Ron or something like that. Like, it was always somebody was available, because by the time I was in school, pretty much everybody had graduated and they weren't really hanging out at A&K anymore. They were off to doing whatever. But I think it was Ashley and I were there quite a bit. And I mean, yeah, dad and Ron were just either one of them at all times was pretty much always available, so I could do whatever. I mean, I remember I set my my GameCube up on the TV, and I set it up to, I could play in Grandpa's living room, and I set it up to Dad's TV to where he could watch me on the press or something, and whenever I hit a home run in the game or something, I'd run out there and be like, Dad, did you see that? And he'd be like, oh, yeah, I saw it. And it's like, I don't even know if he was actually even paying attention, but I don't know, it was just good memories at that house, and it was always pretty much all play, no work in my eyes, because I was just a little kid. I didn't even seem like work, you know.
Okay, I actually didn't realize that you had. So you had the TV there in the kitchen, and then we're talking of like what about a 50-60 foot difference where somehow, I mean, and these were hallways where you'd have to go back in and out, so you couldn't even see Dad from where you were sitting. Oh, but no. You would hook his TV up so that he. It could actually display what you were playing?
I think because the TVs were older, so they had, you know, the cable that hooks up to all the TVs. I set his channel on 3, then he could see what I was doing on whatever input I was on. So it didn't even need like a cable or anything. I just set his up to 3, and it showed on his TV what I was doing. So
I was like, I didn't know that was even possible.
Yeah, I was like live streaming. That was like my first live stream to Dad, and I was playing like 2K6 MLB or something.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Which, I mean, actually getting into this upbringing of work-life balance, you know, that's something throughout my whole life where I think oftentimes people have looked down on me because maybe I have such high expectations for jobs and the workforce and what people want it to be. And so many times people are talking about, oh, I want to make this much money, and I want to do this specific job. But for me, it's mainly about, I just care about what my job offers me. And for me, it's about having freedom of time, obviously making mm-hmm. money to be able to provide for a family and stuff. But the freedom of time is super, super important. And I think that's one thing that, you know, our parents being in the printing business and entrepreneurs that I've always just really, really wanted, like working a set 60 hours or 40 hours or something like that. I want to have the opportunity and the ability to be able to go to my kids' baseball games, to be able to kind of come and go as I please and not mm-hmm. be so much, I guess, tied down to, no, you can't go and miss this special memory here today, or you can't go and have your kids at work with you or anything like that. And it's just a difference of, I think, just you grow up in something like that and you treasure it so much.
Yeah. And I mean, even when, because mom worked at the restaurant, I guess mom and dad both worked at the restaurant. And even when they went to work there, it was like, okay, they went off to work after we got home. Then it's like, all right, let's play ball tag for like an hour. And then we would go right up to the restaurant and see them anyways. And it's not like they were ever really working. I mean, they worked a ton, but they were never really away from us or anything. We could always go visit and eat food. Or if it was at grandpa's house, they were just there. So, I mean, it was never really like they were away.
No, that's a really good point. Like, I know a lot of people, maybe their families are in, maybe, you know, a nurse or something like that, and they're in the hospital. They don't have time to be, you know, being around their kids or anything like that. Or there's a lot of people who travel for work, so they're gone for extended periods of time and unable to see their kids. And I think, you know, as we say we, one thing we forgot to mention is that there are four other siblings mm-hmm. in between us. So there's six kids total. I'm the oldest, and then Josh, and then Brittany, and then Isaac, and then Ashley, Jake being the youngest. So there were six of us total. I think both me and Jake both have bigger age gaps from the next youngest, though. So that's where, especially Brittany, Isaac, and Josh are all really, really close in age. So they were able to like have their own friends inside of the family, where me and Jake were kind of, I don't know. Go ahead.
You were more of a mentor growing up than as I don't know, somebody you would just hang out with that was your age. It was kind of like a teacher-student dynamic, not in like a teacher-student type way, but just like more of a mentor kind of way rather than, I don't know, just because you were so much older than me. It was like you had more life experience and you were just kind of, you had been through that already. So you were just kind of teaching me and showing me the ways and yeah.
No, yeah. And I was, you know, talking more so with Josh, Brittany and Isaac, is that they were super close in age, so they were like always like had, they were pretty much their own friends, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah,
where
yeah.
they have all these stories about when they were out at grandpa's and what they were doing, like throwing blueberries at cars on a highway at night because nobody was essentially watching them and all sorts of great stories, which I think we also hope that throughout this podcast, we would be able to have them on and share some of their, you know, childhood memories and go from there. But I think one thing that, you know, as we get into this podcast and I think we start talking about Jake and I's world beliefs and how maybe the world is different to each one of us, even in preparation for this podcast, we both have two totally different personalities, which is actually interesting. I read a book a couple of weeks ago called Taking Flight, where it divides the personalities up in DISC. Are you familiar with DISC, Jake?
No, I'm not.
Okay. So DISC, there's essentially four different personality types. And this book did a great job is that it split them off into birds. And so the first bird was an eagle. So that's someone who's a super deep researcher. they're very direct. They want the things to get done quickly. And then the second one is a dove. So a dove is much more family oriented. They're very kind and compassionate and loving. The next is an owl. So I think I may have misspoke. The owl is more of a researcher. Well, they are will do the analysis paralysis, and they will take a long time to be able to figure something, but they're going to try to make sure that it's done the right way. And then the last one is a parrot, and a parrot is essentially the I influencer, who is like the life of the party. It's the extrovert. They get all of their energy from being around people, but they can somewhat be lackadaisical in not taking things super seriously because they're out and about. And so as we were preparing for this podcast, Jake said, "Hey, Chad, we should do a podcast." And I've been wanting to do a podcast for, oh man, probably 5 or 6 years. But I'm always researching, oh, what's the best mic to get? How am I gonna get the mic set up? Who are all my podcast guests gonna be? What am I gonna talk about on the podcast? What's the best way to produce the podcast? And each and every time I've thought about doing it, it just folds. And then Jake is like, "Hey, let's start a podcast." I was like, "Hell yeah." Like, I've always wanted to start a podcast. I've just never really had anybody who I thought that I could converse back and forth with on an easy way, because that's what's important about a podcast, is you have to have two people who can talk pretty consistently and take up the time, which I do a pretty good job of myself, right? As you can tell.
Yeah.
But you were like, "Hey, let's start a podcast." And then I started asking questions. Well, what's it going to be about? What's it going to be called? And, you know, getting all this analysis paralysis detail to see, okay, how can we make this perfect? When I think in the end, we just decided, hey, we just enjoy talking. And then for me, making this more about my dad, Monty's Gems is the name of the podcast. So just being able to hopefully share how he's impacted our life and who we are, being able to go from there.
Yeah, I think just generally why I wanted to do a podcast, it was like, yeah, I've wanted to do a podcast for a while too, but it's like, okay, what do I make it about? I don't want to do a podcast alone because I just don't want to, I don't know, I don't want to sit there and hear my own voice. Plus, if I'm doing it alone, that's another way for, nobody's keeping me accountable, if you will. But another reason I wanted to do the podcast was like, maybe I should just do one with Chad, because, I mean, we used to be super close when you lived here in Michigan, and then you moved to Florida, and I feel it's just a lot harder to stay in contact with each other, because, I mean, we were seeing each other every day, going out to play golf, playing baseball, messing around at the house, doing whatever. But then you moved and the dynamic changes. So it's like, okay, I still want to be close to my brother. How do I manage to have conversations with him every week? And yeah, we could have just called every week and whatnot. But I feel, I don't know, personally, I feel like setting a schedule to do something is going to make me stay on top of it more. And it's just, I don't care if anybody listens to a podcast. I just want to have a conversation. And then somewhere down the road, it's like, what if I want to go back one of these days and just hear one of the conversations we had, or where I'm having a bad day or something. And then I just turn on the podcast and listen to it. And it just brings me back good memories. And it's like, I don't know. I just wanted to have a good podcast with you. And that way we can just talk to each other and just have conversations and kind of reminisce on the old times, and then again create new times as well, because we had just a lot of, I don't know, just a lot of growing up was, it was just goofing off, basically. I mean, so much was just, it was like never serious almost. I mean, sure, we went out to practice and hit balls on the range and teaching me lessons and stuff like that, but it was always, I think most of all, it was always have fun and just be happy and have fun and don't take everything too serious. Cause once you start taking things too serious, then it's, I don't know. It just,
no. Yeah. That's a really good point. And I think that's something that as I've moved down to South Florida, I struggle to find that down here, mainly because I don't mind. I just like the simple life, and I like trying to make enjoyment out of everything. It mainly just simple things. I take enjoyment out of simple things. I don't need to go have an expensive meal at some high-end restaurant and fancy. That's not really important to me. But what I do want to do is, if I'm going to the grocery store, you know, and you know, we're you know, running carts into each other or, you know, going to Walmart when it's Halloween season and jumping out with masks or, you know, I remember when we had the car and you were in the back seat and I would drive through the cemetery back or drive home, you know, at like 8 miles an hour.
Oh, yeah. And then if I ever tried to get out, then you just speed up. And then I was like, okay, how long can I make him sit here with me going 5 miles an hour down the road?
And then I would do like my voices you know, whatever, where I just, I and as I get older, I was, you know, I've had some big changes here in my life especially over the past year. I've started questioning, you know, what do I want to get out of life? And that's one thing I've came to is that what's really important to me is to be able to laugh and to be able to create laughter. And so sometimes when we're pressed or stressed at work and we have our goals and we're just thinking about how difficult life is, it's very easy just to let life go by without making sure that you laugh or try to make jokes, because things are serious. You know, life is super serious, and all the things inside of it can be, if you focus solely on those things, it's very easy to go without laughing. And, you know, for me, it's like thinking about Looney Tunes or some of my favorite movies were like Ninja Turtles and stuff like that. It's like the reason for that is that laughter. And to tell you the truth, I don't know about you, but some of my favorite movies, I like comedies, and I've never liked horror films for some reason. And I don't know if maybe that's it or what. Do you watch any horror films?
Kind of, not really. I mean, I will, but they're not like my favorite or anything. I like action movies a good bit, but yeah, like you said, I think comedies are probably my favorite. I mean, I can remember growing up watching Benchwarmers. Like, dude, I can't even tell you how many times I watched that movie. It was to the point where I knew every single word and I could recite it. And then, like, I'd walk into the living room and Dad would be watching the TV and, oh, what's on? Oh, Norbit again. Yeah. for the 10th time in a row that week, it's like, yeah.
Yeah, there was always one saying that he used to say, was it?
It's the, how you do it.
Oh, yeah. How you do it. Yeah. How you do it. Yeah, he would always say that. Oh, my God. Gosh,
he loved that movie.
Yeah he did love that movie.
But yeah, like you said, I think, I don't know, growing up, laughter has just kind of been, I don't know if it's just like my main way to express myself or what, but I've always been the person that's kind of just laughed at pretty much everything. And it's not like I think everything's super funny, but it's just I feel like I see the humor more in things than other people might. Like the same situation, I can just remember in class sometimes there would be absolutely nothing going on. Like I remember I had an English class with Sam one time in high school, and he was sitting all the way across the room, and something happened. It was like nothing at all. I started laughing, and I started just busting out laughing. Like I couldn't stop, to the point where I was almost crying. And Sam looked back at me and he's like, dude, what are you laughing about? And I was like, dude, I don't know. I just kept laughing. Yeah. I think laughter is just kind of, I don't know, it's just when life seems the best, you know? Just goofing off, laughing, not taking anything too serious.
I agree. I mean, obviously, sometimes I think people look at laughter as being lackadaisical or lazy. But, you know, done in moderation or in hard work, in those types of things, you know, life can just get taken too seriously, I think, at some point. And, you know, I think you were talking a little bit about, you know, the podcast versus having a phone call. You know, sometimes when you are forcing or calling somebody, it's like, hey, what's been up? What's been going on? And it's just like, it's more of a serious conversation. Right. Whereas for me, when I think about a podcast, it's like, well, what is there for us to learn from each other or to share with each other or rehash those stories? Or what is it that maybe we've been reading? I mean, I love to read. So being able to, you know, share some of the things that I've been reading, like I shared the book about DISC. and just being able to go, you know, over those things. And again, guys, you know, this podcast for me is really, I think, going to be an opportunity to be able to share life's journey. You know, life isn't easy, but I would like to be able inside of this to be able to share life's ups and downs, its struggles, and just to be real. You know, I don't know if some point there will be crying inside of this podcast or what, but I've always been someone who's been extremely vulnerable about who I am and what's happened to me in my life. And so I would like to, one, be able to share those life experiences, to be able to connect with other people, to, one, I hope people could hear and listen to this podcast and realize that it's okay to not be okay, mm-hmm. that we all go through difficult things. And sometimes, you know, the best way to overcome those things is by, you know, dealing with the pain and the hurt and sitting in it for yourself and feeling those deep things instead of just staying busy. Because I think as a society, it's easy to stay busy and then to get serious. And for me, I think inside of throwing this all back to the laughter and stuff is after I deal with the pain and the hurt, I realize how important it is to be able to laugh, to be able to live in the present. Oftentimes, I think jokes are in the present. Happiness is based in the present, being able to laugh. But if you're so focused on the future or the past or where you're going, and I know for me, there was a time that's all I was focused on, is trying to make as much money as I possibly could, trying to survive. But again, you oftentimes can't do that if you don't have a stable income or something like that. So I completely understand where people can be at. And, you know, I think for us, we had a really good childhood to where we didn't have to worry about a lot of things. Mm-hmm. So it was very easy to be able to laugh and have that carefreeness.
Yeah. And like you said, it's so easy to just distract yourself and say, like, not even say that you're busy, but just surround yourself with busy and work and just being busy all the time. And it's really important to just set aside some time, even if it's a little time, you just set aside some time for yourself and just relax and laugh. And being busy is like one of the best things, but it's also so easy to surround yourself with just things that keep you busy, just to kind of distract you from life sometimes. And I don't know, like going back to what you said earlier, it's like we were kind of making this podcast and it was like, okay, well, this needs to be done, this needs to be done, this needs to be done. But at the end of the day, if we just start it and then keep going and it'll be better and better and better each time, then like I was reading a book, it was maybe a year and a half ago or so, called Atomic Habits. I'm not sure if you've read that book, but
I haven't read it, but I've heard of it.
Oh, okay. So like one of the main takeaways from that book for me was like, so say you want to lose weight in your life, but it's hard for you to stay disciplined. It's like, okay, well, do the easy stuff every single day. Like, so if you want to run each day, well, how does a run start? You have to first put on your shoes. You can't go running if you don't put on your shoes. So at least put on your shoes every single day. And then once you get that process started, the rest of it just kind of falls into place. Like if you put your shoes on, you're not going to be like, oh, I'm just going to take my shoes off, I'm not going to go for a run. Like you're going to put your shoes on, you're going to walk out the door, you're going to actually go on a run. And in the process, you're going to end up at your goal at some point. And then another thing, it was like the 2-minute rule or something. So say your garbage is full, but you're not motivated to take it out. And it's like, you think to yourself, okay, is this going to take less than 2 minutes? If the answer is yes, then just do it right now. Get it out of the way. You're going to feel so much better about it later. And I think for the podcast, it was just kind of like, okay, I just need to do it, set it out. And then once I feel good about it, then you can keep adding on to it. Cause it's so easy to stay busy or distract yourself and just kind of put everything to the wayside and say, oh, I'm so busy. But in reality, you're just trying to keep yourself busy from doing something else. And you can miss out on a lot of things doing that.
I agree with that. But I would also say that this podcast for me is much easier to set out 2 hours or a specific time each week because of our relationship and the enjoyment that I get from being able to talk. where I had expressed to you, you know, earlier that I had once owned a clothing line, and sometimes when I inside of that clothing line, I was doing that was when Instagram Live was a big thing, and I would do interviews. And sometimes those interviews got to be quite difficult because I would try to ask questions that would promote a discussion, and the maybe I wasn't really good at asking good enough questions, or the other person, we weren't seeing eye to eye, and we didn't know each other that well. And so that's where the I don't think it was as very entertaining to watch. So for me, if this was something that was like that I didn't want to do, it would be way more difficult to push myself to just do it, versus this to me is enjoyable. I think, you know, this podcast is, I'll look forward to it each week because of the conversation and the opportunity to be able to share maybe dad's legacy, or just even getting to, you know, talk to you and share your perspectives on life.
But yeah, I would like to share dad's legacy. And I mean, it's important because it's something, like you were saying at the very start of the episode, it's something that was important for him to teach us. Like one of the things, like in the more recent years, is the ability to determine that not everything is like, not everybody is looking out for your best interest. And people are going to lie, and people are going to do this. So you have to always seek the best in people, but don't take that and be making a fool out of, you know? So, I don't know. Seeing dad was very good at pointing out the flaws in the system. And when I was a kid, it was like, okay, come on. But then growing up, as the years pass, it's like, okay, well, why is this like this? Like, why is this set up like this? This is just kind of people being greedy, and why can't the world just be set up in this way?
Yeah, you know, and I think something I've probably noticed, are you familiar with who Gary Vaynerchuk is?
No.
Okay. Well, anyway, that's kind of beside the point. But it's been interesting to see how the world has changed in terms of jobs. So I think back when our parents, you know, were kids, like people were working for the same company for like 40 or 50 years. And they would always, you know, I think people are looked, the older generation looks down on people who transfer from job to job to job. But now, it seems like a lot of people are taking those types of things to heart and realizing this company is going to replace me within 2 days if I put in a 2-week notice, or I quit, or I get sick, or something like that. Versus if I want to quit, they are asking for a 2-week notice from me. And so people have started realizing that, and it's like, well, hey, if I have this job opportunity over here where I can make more money, and they're going to, you know, give me more vacation time, or I'm going to have a more of a work-life balance, or, you know, whatever it might be, if it suits some of my needs or some of my wants, just a small amount more so than what it currently does, they're hopping ship. Where, you know, back in the 70s and the 80s, people were just staying loyal to their jobs for such a long time, to where I think sometimes, you know, those jobs were taking advantage of them. Mm-hmm. And I think it comes to that people-pleasing mindset where it's like, oh, I mean so much to this company. I wouldn't want to hurt them. But it's just like, well,
does this company really value you as much as you think they do?
Well, that's true, but I think even more so, it's like, why don't I just care more about myself? Like, why am I putting this job's wants and needs above, like, what do I want? What does Chad really want? Like, let's seek out what I want and start seeing where that is. And, like, who cares what the job is? If I have 5 jobs in the next year, but I'm advancing and it's making me happier and I'm progressing, like, who cares how many jobs I had, what that number is? Like, why does it matter?
Right. Like when I used to, for those who don't know, I used to work at a rat farm, and it's like, okay, yeah, we basically just raise mice and rats and then we sell them, and there's no payoff at the end. Like the customer isn't like, oh my gosh, what an awesome experience this was. It's like, there's no, you go to work with a bunch of other people, you raise rats, and then you go home. It's like there's no rewarding factor to that. And then I switched jobs to construction, and it's like you see the homeowner at the end, when they see the end product, and even through the process, it's like, wow, this is like awesome, like thank you. And you just see the gratification throughout the process. And switching jobs was, it was uncomfortable for me, but at the end of the day, it's like, oh my gosh, I'm so much happier here than I was at the rat farm. Like at the rat farm, it's like, okay, you go to work and sure, the hours are good, but it's not rewarding. I don't really like the people I work with. And then I switch jobs and the people that I work with are better. I like what I'm doing. I see that happy customer at the end. So it feels like you're actually contributing to something.
No, yeah, I completely agree with that. You know, getting validation, you know, and I think a lot of this, again, goes back to personality types. I read a book a couple of weeks ago called The Five Love Languages, and it essentially deals with what things make people feel loved. And I think sometimes in the workforce, maybe it's not how you feel loved, but the things that make you feel valued inside of a company and what's important. As I've thought about this and going back to some of the jobs that I've really enjoyed, it seems like there's been a couple of things. One is that it's not super stressful. There's laughter. There's people joking around a little bit of the time. And there's also seems to be more of a team atmosphere where everybody's working together towards one goal versus not competing against each other. And, you know, sometimes when you get into the sales industry, which is what I've been into a decent bit of my career, while you're on the same team working for the same company, it can be very, very competitive in terms of whose customer is this, whose lead is this, and those types of things. And it's just like, man, like these are people that I see on a daily basis, and it feels like we're competing because we're all trying to make as much money as we possibly can. And we work for the same company, but technically we're all just like competing against each other. And this is not a lot of fun.
Yeah. It's like you're working at the same company, but you're working at two completely different companies, and you want to make sure that person has like no sales and that you want all the sales. And it's just a toxic work environment that's not really fun for anybody involved.
Yeah. And I don't think my point was ever that they didn't have any sales, but it's just like, you know, being an athlete myself is that I'm very competitive and I like to work super, super hard so that I can be validated or compensated for what it is I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And that usually comes out, you know, inside of that.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I think this has been a good conversation so far, you know, in terms of our starting episode, where, you know, where we've came from, what we've done, and looking forward to some future episodes where we dive into specific topics and you know, kind of sharing our life.
Yeah, for sure. And one other thing I wanted to add was like how this is different than a phone call. It's like phone calls are very sporadic, or not even sporadic, but they're on such short notice that it's like, you don't see yourself preparing for a phone call or like, what am I going to talk about? What can make this conversation better? But for a podcast, it's like you're excited for it throughout the week. You know it's coming. You start thinking of topics. You might write a couple of topics down. And that way the conversation at the end of the week is a lot less, hey, how was your week? What'd you do? This and that. And more, you're actually getting into some substance.
Yeah, and that's 100% true for me, is that I knew if I was going to do a podcast, I would like to be able to provide value for the people listening. And so with that being said, I know that I need to be able to be on my game and think of things that I'm going to be talking about so that I don't just feel like this is wasted air and that I am able to provide value, you know, to the listeners.
Right. And then I think another thing that I've always wanted to do a podcast is, I don't know, I just started listening to podcasts recently, within the past couple of years, I guess. And I started listening to Joe Rogan and the guests that he has on, how it's informative. But a lot of the time, it's just like, no matter who it is, they're just joking around. And I like that aspect. And why I've always wanted to start a podcast is I like speaking in front of people, but I'm just not very good at it. I think because growing up, I was always kind of the quiet kid who didn't contribute, if he didn't have anything to contribute to the conversation that was like anything useful, then I wouldn't really say anything and I would just let everybody else talk. And I guess maybe why I laugh at everything is that's kind of my way of contributing to the conversation without stepping on everybody's feet. Because to me, it seems like people really love talking, and I like talking, but I feel that if I don't have anything to contribute, then I just don't talk. So I guess that's my way of contributing to a conversation. And this is one of my ways of getting better at actually speaking, and when I have something to say, then saying it.
No, that's actually really interesting, because I don't think that I ever thought that you would be willing to do a podcast or have a desire. And in terms of speaking, I remember, you know, at a young age, I would always ask you, you know, kind of questions. And I mean, I probably do a lot more talking than I possibly should, but I like learning. And so one of the things that's always intrigued me with podcasts is the ability to learn. Now, I know quite a bit about you, you know, so I don't really know what type of questions to ask, but I do love learning. And so a podcast has always been a great avenue for me to try to be able to ask questions and get deeper knowledge. So is Joe Rogan's podcast one of your favorite?
Yeah, I would say that's probably my favorite. I like listening to Jordan Peterson too. Sometimes his episodes are very hit or miss for me. Like sometimes it's a really good episode. Sometimes I'm just like, eh, whatever. And then I stop listening after a couple minutes. But Joe Rogan, I can listen to him talk to pretty much anybody.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, he's someone who can make even difficult things seem very, very simple. Mm-hmm. Where Jordan, while he's very, very intelligent, sometimes he gets to so high of an intelligence up to where I can't follow really what he's saying, right? or I can't really grasp, you know, kind of what's going on up in that realm that he's talking about.
Right. And then another thing that I want to point out is, now that I'm married, whenever my wife and I are talking, and she'll just be like talking about her day or something, it's gonna be like, oh, this happened. Why? What? Wait, this happened when, or this happened where? And she's like, why do you ask so many questions? It's like, I know exactly why I ask so many questions. Because growing up, whenever I tried to put out a thought or anything, you would always be like, why is this? Why is that? And you'd ask like a million questions about everything. And I'd be like, I'll tell you exactly why I'm like that, because Chad was like that growing up. And now I've just kind of, I don't know, I've just taken that aspect into my life, I guess. If it's some random person that's just rambling on at work or something, I'm not really that into it. But if I'm actually interested in the conversation, I'll be like, oh, really? Why? Or when did this happen? Or you were doing what when you did that? And it's like, nobody, I guess, I don't know. Nobody really does that, I guess. But I didn't know, because that's all I knew growing up, is like, whenever I tried to talk, you were like, oh, when did this happen? Or where did that? It's like, it would just frustrate me so much. It's like, dude, shut up. Stop asking so many questions.
I know. Like, that's how the rest of our siblings are. Like, they feel like, I think sometimes, where I'm being way too nosy. Mm-hmm. But one of my biggest passions in life has always been just like learning about people and trying to figure out what makes people, I guess, tick. And so that's why I always try to ask deeper questions as to not just, oh, what was it that you were doing, but why were you doing it? Like, where their passion really comes from. And as I grow older and go through, you know, life, I start learning more about myself as to why I choose to do things, or the deep down reasons as to why this was important or that was important. And so oftentimes, as I was doing it, I didn't really realize why it was that I was doing it or what it was that made me happy. It's like, oh, I want to go work at this job just because I can make a lot of money. It's like, no. Like, one of the reasons I'm currently in property management, and one of the things I love about it is I've always loved, you know, being around people. Mm-hmm. And being in property management is that I get to be around this great big community. So growing up in Sturgis, Michigan, if any of your viewers don't know, it's a very small town where Jake and I grew up with. And when you go to the grocery store, you get to see just about everybody there. Like, it's a town of, I believe, 11,000 people. And so being in property management, now I actually live on the property that I help manage. And so it's getting to see those same people. It's like a little neighborhood, and then, you know, you're close to the stores and you get to see all these people. And so that's just, it's almost bringing that small town feel down here to
home in a big city.
Yeah, a huge city like Miami, Florida, which you know, it is really, really cool.
And then another thing that I want to say a little bit more about me is, growing up, you and Dad, whenever I wanted to do something, it was always, so say if I wanted to play baseball, I remember being in like kindergarten and you were like, oh, what do you want to do when you grow up? And it's like, as a little kid, you're like, I don't know, what do I want to do? But I would always say, like, I wanted to play professional baseball. And it's like, if some kid said that to their dad, and sometimes their reaction might be, dude, like, what? Like, you know how many people play professional baseball? It's like, the odds are so slim. But you and Dad were both like, okay, so you want to play professional baseball. Okay, what do we have to do in order to make that happen? And it was always very accepting. And I think that was really important with who I am today, I guess. It's like, I know that if I set out to do something, I will achieve that because you guys instilled that into me. It was like, okay, if I want to do a podcast, then if I want to be the best podcaster, I will set out to do that. Like, I don't have any doubt in my mind. I don't have confidence issues in when I want to do something, I guess. Like, if I wanted to play professional baseball, you would have been on my side. Dad would have been on my side the entire way and been like, okay, yeah, go play professional baseball then. Or if I wanted to do this thing or that thing. And I feel like that's kind of why I have so many hobbies now. It's like, I'm interested by so much in the world. Like, I got a guitar, I have a piano, I want to make video games, like coding and stuff like that. It's, I pick something up, and a lot, my friends in high school were always like, not mad at me, but they're always like, oh dude, what, you're so good at like everything that you do. It's so annoying how you're so good at everything. And it's like, yeah, because I really only do things that I care about and I want to excel at, and I want to be better and better because, I don't know, that's just how it was growing up.
Yeah. You know, and that's interesting that you say that, because I don't really look at my life having really any limitations. Now, I've tried to stay in really good shape. So in the back of my mind, I think, you know, I think that, hey, maybe I could play professional baseball still at 40 years old or something right. like that. There's always just like that. There's never really been a limitation where I'm like, no, I can't do that anymore. And I think a lot of people, they've created those limitations in their mind about what they can and they can't do. And for me, it's just like, if I want to be a CEO for a company, if I want to be a comedian, it's like, I can still do it. Like, there really aren't any limitations. And I don't know, I think this will be an interesting topic to cover, is how we as individuals create these limitations inside of ourselves to where we restrict ourselves and we don't think that we can do something. Now, obviously, especially when it comes to sports, you have to have some type of athletic ability, but the harder you work and the more you train, you create the bigger opportunity to do that. But at some point, I think people come to the realization, okay, I'm not going to be able to do this, or this is too much against my personality to further pursue, or I'm just not enjoying it anymore, so I don't really want to do it anymore.
Right. And that's what I always remember Dad saying, that He never called you unathletic, but Dad always said that if you had my natural athletic ability, that you would have went to play professional baseball just because of your work ethic was so good. And he wanted to encourage me, but he also wanted to remind me, like, hey, you are very gifted, and if you choose to take that route, just know that you can do it. And I mean, you're naturally gifted, whereas other people are going to have to work to get where you are. But just because you're gifted doesn't mean you don't have to work.
No, yeah, I mean, that's one thing. It's like speed. I just remember, like, even when you were a little kid, just how fast you were, how amazingly fast you were. Like, it was I always liked just hitting home runs. Like,
yeah.
Hitting the ball as far as I possibly could. And, you know, it was cool to see you hit home runs, but there was nothing more enjoyable than watching you run. Like, it was just like, I always thought, as like, man, I really think it would be cool if somehow he could just like run the 100 yard dash, or, you know, it'd be sweet to see Jake in the Olympics someday, or, you know, whatever it was, just because watch you fly, you know what I mean? It's like Usain Bolt fly. It was easy on the eyes, and it was fun and enjoyable to watch that guy run.
Right. And I always enjoyed running too. Being fast was always kind of like just something I grew up with, because it's not like I ever worked at being fast or anything. I remember in kindergarten, Sam and I would always race, and I would beat Sam every single time, and he would get so mad. You could tell he would just get mad because he's like, dude, I just can't beat him. And it's like, I never trained or anything in kindergarten all the way up through who knows what age, but it's like, I never trained to be fast. And it's kind of like things like that. It's that perspective. I don't know what it's like to not be that fast. Kind of like, I don't know what it's like to be an older brother. Like, I'm sure it would be cool, but I don't know what that's like. And it's like, you don't know what it's like to be a youngest brother, or to have any older brothers or anything like that. So it's kind of a weird thing to think about, like, I don't know, just to see everybody else's perspective on life.
Right. I'm sure both of us, like, we probably have this in common, is that we don't know what it's like to do like a 360 dunk, like Vince Carter. And he does. And he probably doesn't know what it's like to not be able to like jump, you know, 12 inches off the ground. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you were talking about this podcast and the ability to speak. And one of the things that I actually, one of the memories that I had that really stuck out to me when I first realized how good of a speaker you were, is last year for our father's funeral, we all kind of wrote eulogies and stood up and spoke at the funeral. And one thing that was so impressive to me, as my siblings, like, I never really saw them as the extrovert type or standing up in front of public and speaking, is that everybody spoke so clearly and just so well. Like, there were jokes that they had created inside of it, and it just impressed me. And I don't know where that trait came from or how that was passed down on our family, but that's one thing that just shocked the crap out of me.
Yeah. I mean, looking at it, both of our parents were like, they always talked to like everybody. So it's like seeing what a conversation should be it wasn't a surprise to any of us. Like, we saw mom, you go to the store with mom and she talks to however many people. She's there for 2 or 3 hours getting groceries, and you're at home with dad. Like, dude, where's mom at? Like, she's at the grocery store just talking to everybody.
Especially when we're like waiting for dinner or something like that.
Yeah, we're waiting for food and we're like, dude, where's she at? But she's just in there talking to everybody. So, I mean, we all knew how to talk to people, but giving speeches is different, I think. But I think for me, if it's something that's important to me, then I'm going to do it well. Like, if that speech was, if it was just for something of less significance, then I probably would have tried on it still, but to sit down and think about it and organize the speech, this should go first, this should go next, this should be last. I had to sit down and think about it, and it's like, okay, what would make the most sense? And I don't know, I like speaking. I feel like I'm not as good at speaking individually in conversation, whereas I'm better at writing stuff down first, but there's only one way to get better at something, and that's just doing it. So,
no, 100%. And I think oftentimes, even though mom was talking at there at the grocery store, she was also going to Goodwill and a number of other stores. And I remember every time mom would come home, and I was actually going to add this in dad's eulogy at the end, and I forgot, and I'd be like, "What'd you buy this time? What'd you get now? What kind of crap did your mom get?"
Yep. Or mom would come back and dad would just be sitting there in his in his motor scooter thing, and I would be helping mom carry in the groceries, and he'd be like, dude, how many groceries did she get? Like, what did she even buy? She went to buy food. What else did she get? And it's like, I don't know, Dad.
Who the hell is she buying all this stuff for?
Yeah.
Who else do you think she's going to feed?
Yeah, or it's like she knows that he likes to drink Coke or something. He'd be like, why are you always buying so much Coke? He's like, dude, you know exactly why she's buying so much. It's for you.
You're the one drinking it.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Like, it's water. Like, what are you talking about? You use it to brush your teeth. Like, what do you mean?
Yeah. Or he'd complain about how she buys, like, extra muffins or something, and he'd be like, he'd always do that sigh too. He'd be, who's gonna eat all those? And you come back home one day and he's just got like 3 muffins on his plate. It's like, what?
Yeah. And then he'd give you this look on his sarcastic look, like, well, somebody had to eat them. Yeah. I didn't want them to go bad. Jeez.
Yeah. It's like, you're the reason she keeps buying all this stuff, dude.
Gosh, I guess I'll have to eat all those. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh man. But yeah, so we hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and bidi 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 bidi, that's all, folks.
See ya.
See ya.